Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
All right, so I've got a confession to make. I've been watching way too much true crime dramas in the last month or so, Steve. You know, you're in between shows and whatever, you know, they're an easy thing to pop on and just sit there and have in the background maybe while you're doing other things. A particular subgenre that I've found interesting that has popped up is in relation to online, being online, social media presences and all of that can actually lead to potentially dangerous kind of consequences for people that are using it. Well, in the sense that you might be attracting some not so nice people to your feed and whatnot. And I just thought we'd revisit that today revisit in the sense that we've spoken about social media before and potential impacts. We'll touch on like things like the whole mental health thing and whatnot in terms of continually putting yourself online for the validation and whatever. And I'm not escaping the irony here that we're also doing the same thing right now, but we're having a chat, so not broadcasting our location, so to speak. Don't go by the backgrounds we've subbed in, by the way, either. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is that, these platforms are, like, if you look at the good of the platforms themselves and potentially what they can bring is, like, this idea that you can creatively put yourself and express yourself through their platforms and the mechanisms there. But then it's out there publicly available to everyone in the world. And unfortunately, with certain people that you've got around the place that will have nefarious goals in mind, you have to really kind of watch and potentially be aware of the potential downsides when it comes to this. And I know that the true crime shows can be a little bit more sensational and go more to the extreme end, but they were based on cases that actually happened, and it largely came around people being tracked by what the way they've tagged themselves, location wise. And there was one case in particular where a woman was stalked by someone who flew halfway around the world to New Zealand to track her down because he was able to figure out her location based on Google map imagery of things she posted in the background in her photos. Like, that's the kind of obsession that we're talking about with that sort of thing. So just that as a starting point, like, obviously, you know, if you watch enough of that stuff, you probably don't ever want to leave the house ever again. It was quite scary kind of stuff to look at. But it kind of highlights social media and all of that was kind of birthed into the world without any of this guardrails, whatever you want to call it, put in place to kind of have an understanding of, you know, the pros and cons of using it. And it feels like that we're learning about the cons of its use after the fact, after we've been using it. And it'd be good to, you'd almost need classes and education in it to, protect yourself.
Well, I wonder if even that would work. I mean, it's an interesting situation. I mean, crimes such as stalking and these obsessive behaviours that relate to targeting individuals have always existed. But in the physical world, the probability of attracting someone like that, is limited because you have to have had at some stage physical contact or at least proximity to that person. What we've got in a digital world that promotes identifying your location, incorporates your identity, and then also incorporates your personality, your views, your opinions, the things that obviously for an influencer you feel are important, the topics you cover, basically allows you to attract a whole range of obsessive people, and it's not bound by physical proximity. It's bound by interest, appearances, whatever would attract that sort of attention. And then, of course, if your location, the topics that you cover, your personal information is all part of your identity online, well, that's just juicy as you start to attract 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 followers, you're just upping the stakes. If you think that even only 1% of those people are crazy, but by the time you get to 100,000, you've probably got at least, you know, 1,000 people out there that maybe you wouldn't want to meet in real life. And that's just the fact.
And it only takes one really to like completely throw things out of whack.
Well, that's right. Well, of that 1% of that 1,000, if 1% of them take it further, and then if, you know, 10% of them or even only 1% of them take it to an extreme, unfortunately, you've got a very dangerous situation. And I think that that's really what all of these things are. That's why they're coming out of the woodwork. And I agree with you in that I don't think people realize, people, while they're attracting followers and they feel the positivity of their online presence, it's very easy to overlook the fact that all it takes is one or two people out there who are, I don't know, emotionally troubled and obsessive to hone in on you, and then, you know, things can go very badly.
Yeah, just wanted to pick up on that point you mentioned about, in like, it used to be you'd need to have had some sort of physical like interaction in the real world to set something like this off. What I thought was interesting in one of the examples I saw was that it was entirely through digital contact, in the sense that the person in question didn't actually chase them in the real world. They were basically harassing them through phone calls and messaging from completely different from a completely different location, and that was the extent of the harassment. And it was still psychologically significant and massively intrusive and anxiety producing for the victims involved. And given the fact that, you know, all these digital tools we have at the moment are so pervasive and easy to use, and they're so powerful, and it doesn't even cost a lot really to get this going. It adds another dimension to all of that didn't exist before.
Well, and you're absolutely right. So this sort of, you know, thinking now, it can all be done from a mobile device, and you can spend hours. You don't need to leave a room to exert your presence in the person that you're targeting. So unfortunately for our influencers, as I say, you know, what really generates, I think, a lot of the success of the influencers is the positivity that comes with influencing and followers and support. But the negative influence, all it takes is for them to latch on. They can be anonymous. They can be anywhere in the world. And we know, even just from bullying cases, it's just that social presence. It's that digital presence where whenever, you know, the targeted person comes online, they're subjected to this constant stream. And if you're online all the time because that's your persona, that's your income, that's your life, then it's no different to have somebody just standing out the front of your house staring in your windows. It's relentless, it's disconcerting, and it's completely unfair and wrong.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's not all when it comes to some of the challenges with, you know, doing online content and, you know, establishing a career as an influencer and doing that kind of work. Because leaving all of that side, which is all really nasty stuff, there's also just also that cycle of validation and what happens if you fall on the foul side of the algorithm. You know, you get a million views one day and then you're down to 10,000 the next, and you didn't really necessarily do something wrong to trigger that. Or it could just be that you get boxed into something that works. It might be a very narrow niche, and if you step outside of that niche, you're not going to get rewarded with the exposure through the algorithm, etc., and how that kind of impacts the way you create content. and just being aware of the fact that that actually happens, and that you'd need to have like yourself really psychologically prepared for all of that, so that you don't sort of suffer the roller coaster ups and downs of how things are sort of play out, you know, with your presence online.
Well, I think that's a very good point. I mean, as an influencer, you know, one comment that's read the wrong way can turn your audience against you. You know, some people are natural and some people have topics that perhaps they're never going to be in that danger zone, but all it takes is for the tide to turn, whether it's an algorithm, whether it's somebody else setting you up, whether it's someone else besting you, you know. So it really makes, and we've spoken about this before, that if you have a very successful podcast or vlog, you've got to be online constantly because you can't let those eyeballs wander. You have to keep your presence up, and you get drawn into this relentless cycle. And with this relentless cycle, you may experience success. You may increase your following. But you have to work very hard at it. You have to give all of yourself as well online, and that also attracts the negativity. And then, of course, any negativity, if it's of the right source, somebody else can then use that as content through true crime, etc., etc., to boost them. So it becomes a very competitive and a very vicious world, even if the intent of the third parties profiting out of your misery is only their own success.
Absolutely. So if nothing else, based on everything we've just discussed today, go into it with eyes wide open in terms of the potential downsides when you're doing an online career.
Very true. Very true.
And just, I guess, lastly, we'd be remiss to not talk about the platforms themselves, or in this particular case, Meta facing quite a number of a lawsuit that's been put forward by a number of US states around addiction to their platform and the amount of, I guess, hooking their users into their apps, etc., especially with children involved in addicting children to the platform. What's actually interesting about this one, given the size of it, I guess, and what they're aiming to do here, is that this, if they're successful, this could like really change how, say, Facebook and Instagram kind of work. I thought it was interesting that they were wanting to actually ditch the ability to like as one of the things that was on there, amongst other things, a whole laundry list of things. Interesting. It's not like that it, you know, these things haven't come up in the past, but going back to that idea of there's like a long tail before you know, the potential downsides are explored with technologies like this, it would seem that given the way that social media and the sort of backlash that's been building over such a long period of time now, it might have taken 20 years, but it seems like it's finally catching up in terms of let's like pick this apart to see what the actual impact on society is of these platforms and what needs to be done about it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And the big tobacco analogy is an interesting one, which is used frequently in this. Look, you know, I think we've also spoken about this at length over 15 years too. I mean, the social platforms got a lot of free kicks early on. And whatever your position today is it's now meant that they've got a lot to lose. And, of course, once they've got a lot to lose, people are making cases why they should lose it. And I think it's been well enough tracked, or certainly we've discussed it enough over the last 10 years, to know that their practices, which were ungoverned, and this is where, for me, you know, I find it interesting. I'm certainly not on their side, but it just seems to me now that there's something to lose, that suddenly the cases come out and they can make very good cases. But of course, it's all centered around the fact that the platforms knew what they were doing. I quite genuinely question that. They may well have engaged in practices that they knew that probably were detrimental, but I don't think they really understood the effect. There was no analogy for what social media has done. So I guess we'll just have to see how this rolls out. It's very interesting because I think it will change social media hugely in the future. But having said that, I think social media now, with the advent of AI, was going to change hugely anyway. So it's probably the end of an era, whichever way you look at it. And I think these cases against the social platforms will greatly impact the changes that occur.
Absolutely. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Interesting space to watch, and combine that with everything that's going on with AI at the moment. Maybe there's going to be a reckoning in the next few years. Maybe we'll end up back with pen and paper at the end. Who knows?
Maybe, or maybe just the haters will be AI agents.
No humans involved.
No humans involved. That's right.
Absolutely. All right. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.